Can spiritual healings take place? Your heads are bobbing up and down like Indians. Can spiritual healing take place? Can a healing take place in a person? Can a person change from being sick to being whole? Can a person enjoy wholeness? Can a person go to a man like John of God and have him do his manipulations on them and make them whole and perfect? Can a person go to Jesus and have a spiritual healing? Now, the answer, unfortunately, is no. And why is the answer no? The answer is no because we are already whole and perfect. Now, a spiritual healing, if it means to return to our original purity and integrity, then that's great. But that's not what it means to the average person. People who say they would like a spiritual healing are saying that they would like a healing without drugs. They would like a healing without mental manipulations, without psychiatry or psychology or something else like that. People who say they like a spiritual healing are usually referring to something in the outer, and of course they'll never get it. Now, many people who go to John of God experience wonderful wholeness. They walk away without their cancer, without their illnesses, without their problems, and they say, wow, wow, wow. But they have gotten rid of the outer. Now, you can go to any doctor in the world who is a surgeon or who can do it, and he can cut out cancer. But he will tell you, I probably haven't got it all. Now, that's a dirty remark to make. But what he means is, if you have in your consciousness the cause that brought that cancer in the first place, not believing in yourself, not loving your body, not delighting in your body in every possible way, then it's quite likely you'll have the cancer come back. And if you even put a new cause in motion for unhappiness, you can bring that disease back. Because those things are not dependent on your original purity and integrity. Your original purity and integrity has nothing to do with wholeness or illness. It has nothing to do with your body. It has nothing to do with your mind. It has nothing to do. It is a concept of our original purity and integrity. What is the original thought, if we can think of it in this way without thinking separatism? What is the original thought? What is the original thought of the creative cause that brought forth our body? What is the original thought of the creative cause that brought forth our body? That's without saying it's something outside of us. The original thought that brought forth our body is wholeness and perfection. It is the ideal concept of a body, you know? Mm-hmm. The ideal concept, but not fat, thin, tall, short, not sick, well, not anything else. It is just the ideal form. Now, just take your imagination for one little minute on this, which you don't know anything about. But what does an ideal atom look like? What does an ideal atom look like? It looks like a proton, neutron, electron, all functioning harmoniously together, and that's it. You know, there is no disease in there. There is no unhappiness in there. There is no imperfection in there. There is no possibility of it going wrong. So, when our body takes on an illness, our body is just a bunch of atoms, a bunch of perfect atoms. Our body is just a bunch of perfect atoms, ideal atoms, doing their ideal thing, doing their ideal thing in the ideal form. And our eyes see it as a fat, thin, tall, short body, and we see it with problems, we see it with illness, we see it with problems that are making us unhappy. We see it that way. Now, that's how we see our body. That's how we see what wraps around the atoms. The atoms that form our body are perfect. We can never get in there and mess them up. We say we split the atom. Well, what do? We really perhaps split the atom, but we make it into a finer substance. We make it into a two atoms, or whatever we do it into. But you see, the thing is, the original constitution of anything remains the original constitution of anything and cannot be changed by any form, any thought, any idea, any manipulation, any doctor's knife or anything else. It cannot be changed. It is only its original purity and integrity. Now, around the outside of it, we build a moss, we build a picture, we build an illusion. And that illusion is very temporary. Today the illusion is 100 pounds, tomorrow the illusion is 110 pounds, you know? Because that's just an illusion. And is that your reality? No, what is your reality? Wouldn't you like to know? Well, why don't you study it? You can find out. It would be interesting. I'm living my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, do these people, including the University of Healing, do these people who teach healing, who teach the inner workings of the mind or the spirit or the body or whatever, do they really teach something valid that's feasible and works? Yes. They teach whatever it is that the person who's studying it wants to know. Because every one of these philosophies, I guarantee you, every one of these ways of thinking says to you that you are the thinker, that you are the original thought, that it is, they say, done unto you according to your thought. Now, can you return in your thinking, and there's no returning to it, but can you return in your thinking to your original concept of yourself, to your original integrity, your original purity? Can you return to it? No, you can't. But you can walk away from anything which is not beautiful and good. Now, let's just say cancer. That's not a nice thing. Let's just walk away from it. We don't want anything, any part of it in our life. All right? A broken leg. Let's walk away from it. We don't want any part of that in our life, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. A mentally unstable mind. We don't want any part of that in our life. So we walk away from it, you know. We do not concentrate on it. My son, Mark, was telling me about his father-in-law and mother-in-law. And he lived here in California in a very exclusive community of elderly people, and they just thoroughly loved their house. But it was distressing for them to look out their window and see the neighbor lady with her walker chuggling along to go to the mailbox, and then the other neighbor lady with her wheelchair, and then the other neighbor lady with their canes, and with their, and they lived in a community of old people who were old and getting ready to die and living as well as they can. And they didn't want to live in that atmosphere. And they didn't know that they didn't want to live in that atmosphere. They just thought, I want to go back to Florida. We just came from Florida a couple of years ago, and it was so nice in Florida, you know. And apparently they didn't see all that in Florida. So they went back to Florida, bought themselves a very lovely home in a very upgrade neighborhood of young executive peoples who were dynamic and enjoying life and getting thrill out of life, and none of them had walkers or canes or anything like that. They were living in the now, in wholeness and perfection. Now, and that's quite something to be aware of, and quite something to be able to be master of it. And I don't really think that they knew exactly what they were doing, but they followed their inner guidance to get out of the environment which they didn't want to be in. Which is good, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't have to go back to Florida to do that. There are lots of places in California for that, you know, Silicon Valley and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. But they didn't have to. But they got the point. They got the point. Now, if you go to a healer and have him heal you, I don't say don't do it. I never say that. Then you'll need to do it again and again and again, because you haven't put your thought right. You've gone to some outer person, some outer thing that's supposed to do something for you. Now, as long as you're going to go to some outer thing looking for an inner transformation, you're going to find that it's going to be a short-lived transformation. Because then whatever irritated you before and caused you to have this unhappiness in your life, there'll be other things to come along, you know, other things to come along. Maybe the neighbor's kids throwing his ball against your house, boom, 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 and just driving you mad, and you say, we got to leave here. So you leave there, and you say, I don't want to live in that neighborhood. And you move to another neighborhood, and in this other neighborhood, you're in your home, and your neighbors are in their home, and the neighbor's wife is studying grand opera. And she's learning the scale, she's singing, and she's learning all these arias, and she's singing at the top of her voice because she thinks she's so very good. And she goes into the yard and sings, and she opens the windows of her house as she sings, and you're sitting there drinking this all in. And you're thinking to yourself, my God, what did I do to deserve this? Well, what you did was you ran away from the circumstances first. Now, you're living in the house where the boy next door is bouncing the ball against your house. Well, hey, that's very easily solved. Live in a house where the house is peace, where the house is harmony, where the house is, not that he doesn't bounce the ball against the house, because if he doesn't bounce the ball against the house, then he may take up shotguns or something like that, you know. And whatever you want, whatever you want. But you say, I live in peace. And then move into the realm of peace in your consciousness, and the ball will stop being bounced against the house. The kid will be invited to go down to the play area with the rest of his friends and play handball or whatever other things they like, you know. And he will not have, when he comes home, he's too tired to play more handball, you know, and he has no desire. But that's not the point. You live in an environment of peace. You live in an environment of wholeness. You live in an environment of divine ideals, spirit, mind, and body. You see, when you live in that, you're not pushing anything away, and you're not pulling anything to you. You're merely revealing the original purity and integrity that's in you. Now, if your husband is snoring and you can't stand the snoring, so he's, my God, let's buy him some pinchers for his nose, let's do this, do that, do the other thing. And really, what do you do? You merely say, I live in a peaceful consciousness. I live in a peaceful consciousness. And so, all of a sudden, your husband doesn't snore anymore. He doesn't snore. He does not snore! And then, your mother-in-law comes to visit, and she stays overnight in the guest room next to the master bedroom. And in the morning, she says, my dear, how can you sleep with someone who snores so loud like my son, you know? That must, when he was at home, it just drove me bazooks. But how can you handle him? And she says, Mom, he doesn't snore. I certainly don't. No, he doesn't snore. I don't hear a thing. And it's not just because I sleep through it, but he doesn't snore in my presence, in my consciousness, in my house, in my world. I sleep in balance. I sleep in, I live in a peaceful, quiet, wonderful house. But I heard him. Mother, thank you very much for your report. Or she wouldn't even create her mother telling her that, even though her mother could hear it. You understand? She wouldn't create her mother-in-law saying one single thing, because this was not in her consciousness, nor was anything germane to it, attached to it, anything that was part of it. She would not have any report on that. Do you understand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't tell other people how to live their lives. We merely live our lives. Do you have someone snoring in your life? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. And do you have anything that's making you discontent in your life? No. Do you have a perfect body? Yes. Do you have a perfect mind, spirit, and everything else?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. And do you ever think in that other direction? No. Now, you're going to a healer because you want him to do what you should be doing yourself. And what you should be doing yourself is designing your world in which you live in your whole and perfect body. Now, I walk the meditation paths here, and as I walk these meditation paths, I say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And I don't know what I'm whole and perfect from. I haven't got any problems. But I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole. I keep that as a statement in my world, that in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, and wherever my mind may be, that statement is there. And I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I know that. But I keep reminding myself, I live in my ideal spirit, mind. Never is that far from the center of my consciousness. It is always right in my mind, in my thought, in my action, in my thinking, in my being, in my doing. Now, John of God is a very fascinating guy from Brazil, and our webmaster, Daniel Vanetti, sent us information on him, and we were pleased to hear the story. And absolutely no desire to go and see the fellow, but I'm sure he's quite fascinating. It's like a good show. And we mentioned it to some of our friends, and our friends said, oh, hey, that'd be great to go and see him. That'd be great to go and see what he does. And, hey, I got cancer, I got this, I got that. Maybe he can help me. And I said, do whatever you think. But first, say to yourself, I am whole and perfect. 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 All right, Jean, I'm pointing to Jean at the table here. She doesn't exist. Jean, are you going to go see John of God? Oh, yes, I want to go see him because I have cancer. Well, he's only going to help you have more of it. What do you mean? Well, are you whole and perfect? I want to be. Are you whole and perfect? I should be. Are you whole and perfect? I'm whole and perfect. Then why are you going to see him about something that you don't need anything from him for? Yeah? If you are whole and perfect, you don't need to go and see him. If you are whole and perfect, you don't need to go and see him. Now, Stefan Stresle is in Switzerland, and he's aware of this fellow too, and he had come to Germany and other places, and the possibility was there for Stefan to go visit the guy, and he hasn't done it yet. And Stefan is teaching spiritual healing. He's teaching spiritual awareness. He's teaching the original purity and integrity in us. He's teaching all these good things. Now, why would Stefan go to a school for cancer removal if he's teaching that everyone is whole and perfect? Why would we go and research things that are contrary to what we believe? Now, John of God does a good job. He is reaching out to people who are in harmony with his philosophy and his level of awareness of where they are, and that's great. Our level of awareness of where we are is we are living in our original purity and integrity. We are living in our original purity and integrity. We reveal our original purity and integrity. There may be times we get dust on our shoes and we brush it off. That doesn't mean our shoes are sick. That doesn't mean our shoes are bad and dirty and cancerous and this and that. It does if we leave the dust on it. But we just dust the dust away and reveal the original shine on our shoes. I bought a Miata 6 years ago, something like that, and they put a coat of wax on it that was an extra $250. $250 for a coat of wax, you know. and they said that it would keep the coat of that car beautiful indefinitely. Well, here it is 6 years later, and we washed the car the other day, and it was just as beautiful as it was when we got it. Now, the original purity and integrity is there. We just washed away the outer dust. Now, do we believe that the original purity and integrity has a six-year life? Or do we believe it has immortality? You know? Do we believe it's forever? Is our original purity and integrity forever? Or is it a temporary? Are we going to have to reapply it? We reapply the revealing of it, you know. We want to reveal that it's there. We want to wipe off the dust that gets on. The dust is not part of the car. The dust is not part of the beautiful wax job. The dust has nothing to do with it. The dust is just exterior. The cancer is exterior. The illness is exterior. The broken leg is not our permanent thing, I would hope to think. If we think our permanent leg is broken, then we'll have a broken leg forever. And that's not really what I would think would be a very smooth thing to do. One of our students, Sam Houston in Texas, he's really Sam Houston, and his wife, Maria. They're two super people. Well, Maria, at the age of 90-something or other, took off, and Sam is still clucking along. Well, now, when Sam was a little boy, he was given a bad deal. His one leg was not there, partly, and the other one was clubbed, and his one arm was not there, and the other one was twisted. And he was very dynamic, very vital, very fantastic boy, and he wanted to do what the rest of the kids did. They were making money getting potatoes and bringing them in, and he wanted to go get potatoes, but he had found a hard time dragging himself out there to do it and dragging here. And so he made a little cart where he could drag his legs on it, and he could use his one arm, and he would dig in and get potatoes. And he didn't get as many as the rest of the kids got, but he got a lot of them. Well, then, when he was a teenager, he says to his mom, "Mom, I don't want these legs here and arms that aren't doing me any good. I would have them cut off and get a prosthesis." And his mother said, "Do you really know what you're talking about? You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, you keep what you got. You got something, you know." He said, "No." He said, "That's not really me. That's not really me." So he cut him off, and he got prosthesis. And he went on to be a very successful man. And his favorite sport is
dancing.
Dancing. Dancing. But anyhow, square dancing. Yeah, square dancing. That's what it's just didn't sound right. Square dancing, where he teaches groups of fours to dance, and he's in there dancing with him. And Maria, who was his wife, who had bad feet from her life experience, and he talked to her, and within no time, she was up there dancing with him, enjoying it just as much as he, forgetting all about the unhappy feet that she had had before. You see, if we live in the consciousness of our bad feet or our lack, we will not have anything. But when we live in the consciousness, hey, I'm whole and perfect, and go for it. Now, Sam Houston is in his late 90s, and he's still going for it. And he is just doing great. Now, can you imagine 90-some years living with a body that other people might call limited, and to him, there was no limitation. But you see, I think something that made him so very special, and makes him so very special, and that would make us very special too. Sam had an unflagging honesty. He was pure in his soul. He was a bookkeeper. He could not allow any incorrect answer to be put down. He could not allow anything to be said at any time in any report that he gave that was not true. He was so pure in his honesty. And he did the same thing with his body and his mind and his world and his spirit. And you know, no matter what difficulties he faced, he always revealed the original purity and integrity within him. He did not allow his limited body to limit his mind or his spirit. And indeed, his body wasn't limited. Can we, who just face the temporary dust on our shoes or dirt on our six-year wax job, our car, can we live in the consciousness, in the awareness, in the realization of just who and what we are? Can we teach what we really believe? We don't teach mind over matter. We don't teach that things are so that are not so. You understand that?
Yeah. Yes.
We don't teach that we don't have cancer and we don't have hurts and we don't have these things. We teach that what we do have is our original purity and integrity, that wax job that's underneath there that we want to reveal. And it's there eternally. And it is always perfect. And that's the only place we want to place our attention. Now, we can go to Lourdes, and we can go on our knees up the staircase to the grotto and to the fountain and maybe experience healing, maybe not. We can go to John of God, a very noble, fabulous fellow doing his thing, and we can experience an outer healing. We can go to our medical doctors and have the outer healings, which are all very good. And I want us all to do that until we're ready to not do it. Until we're ready to live in our consciousness that we know that we are divine. That we know that our original purity and integrity is all that we want to express. So don't ever quote me as saying don't go to a doctor. Don't ever quote me as saying do not use whatever techniques you want to use that'll bless your life. But do quote me as saying that your original purity and integrity is absolute and always there like that beautiful wax job on my car. And after 6 years, washing it is just as great as ever. And that's a car that's dashing around the countryside, thousands of miles, you know, bugs and everything else. Poof, gone. Okay. Our body is the result of our mind. Our body is created as an absolute pure expression of all that is good and beautiful. And because of that, that's all we ever want to know and experience and live. And if we put our attention for 1 second on a limited attitude, then we have given ourselves 100-year plague with that 1 second of slipping off the wagon. And of course, the 100-year plague is done too in a second, because we live in the now, and there is no past, there's no future, there's no present, there's only the now. And so if we can really ideally live in the now, in our original purity and integrity, wow, how great that is. So join me in that awareness and in that love and in that expression, and just watch the magic that takes place for you. Have a lovely day, and know I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
I love you.